fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Grab a cup of coffee and let's talk Leafs. That's right, Jeff Blair wants the words Leafs and cup in the same sentence.
My God, that doesn't sound right, does it? Look, it started already, hasn't it? A couple of anonymous quotes in the local newspaper from a minor hockey coach's seminar, and just like that, one of the oddest of odd storylines emerges from Leafs camp, even before the first drop of urine is spilled in medical. Think about that for a second. Not a drop of urine. Think about this for a second. Anonymous minor hockey coaches. Now, assistant coach Steve Spott has already found himself at odds with Phil Kessel over a breakout play, according to the Toronto Star. At least that's what he allegedly told attendees at a coach's clinic. The article used anonymous and possibly paraphrased quotes to paint a picture of Phil run amok and a head coach, Randy Carlyle, who'd essentially thrown up his hands. Since Spott is not directly quoted, hockey folks in this city are left to make up their own mind about what was and wasn't tongue-in-cheek, and... it's not a good thing in this market, is it? Anyhow, listen, the Leafs open camp with medicals today, and God bless them for this distraction, what with the Blue Jays down to the stems and seeds of the 2014 baseball season. We'll talk to Mike Zeisberger, the Toronto Sun, at 10 o'clock and take your calls on which Leafs storyline you think will dominate camp. But, yeah, I'd like us to wait at least until Kessel's first shift of the exhibition season before we start crapping on him. Yeah, can we reach an agreement that we do that? Anyhow, it's 20 days to puck drop, everybody, and it's already getting started. But you know what? We're going to open things with the Blue Jays, who lost again to the Baltimore Orioles last night and seemed to have taken themselves out of the wild cards picture despite having a tragic number of, I don't know, 6-7, something like that. We're in full wait till next year mode, which of course means we're in season review mode. Now, our Shai Davidi of Sportsnet has a column up in sportsnet.ca saying it's status quo as far as John Gibbons' job status is concerned. That's what I've heard, too, that Gibbons retains the confidence of general manager Alex Anthopoulos. What I want to know is whether he retains your confidence, which is why the phone lines are open after Mike Wilner gives us his take.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
Say you want a revolution. I don't know about a revolution. But like I said, I'd like to wait at least till the medicals are done before we start hammering Phil Kessel. I mean, if you want to do it, go ahead. I'll give you a shot at 10 o'clock. I have no problem with it. I understand there's nothing like a little preemptive dumping on a hockey player. Good Lord. The Toronto Blue Jays go on to the Bronx tonight for the first of a four-game series after being swept by the Baltimore Orioles, essentially running up the white flag and, essentially serving the role of bystanders as the Orioles cruised to their first American League East title since 1997. I don't know how this happened, but at some point in the last couple of days, well, I guess it was when Alex Anthopoulos came out and was asked about John Gibbons' job security, and I must be getting older. You know, maybe maybe the journalistic radar went down for a couple of days. I don't know, but I didn't read anything into his statements. Apparently, though, a lot of people seem to think that it was something less than a resounding vote of confidence compared to last year's vote of confidence, which was a very simple and unequivocal yes when Alex Anthopoulos was asked if John Gibbons was going to be back. Look, I think there's a couple of things at work here. I think there is going to be some turnover in the Blue Jays front office. I don't know if President Paul Beeston's going to be back next year. I don't know if he wants to be back next year. I'm reasonably certain Alex Anthopoulos is back. I'd like to think John Gibbons, you know, is coming back. But I think there's a lot of things in play right now. And it's odd because I'll tell you that to me, this season hasn't been as disappointing as last season. I know this team had a huge lead early in the season and lost it. But I feel a lot better about this team where it is right now than I did about last year's team. I don't think there's any comparison to that. So we'll take your calls on that at 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Might as well start talking about John Gibbons' job status. Mike Wilner is the host of the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. He's also the third man in the booth with Jerry and Joe. And Mr. Wilner joined us as our leadoff hitter this morning. Thank you for doing this.
I always like to hit in the top of the lineup. No problem.
I know you do. I've been told you like it on top.
I got the wheel.
The lineup. So you got the wheel. Hey, I'm going to ask you, should Gibby be back?
I think so.
Okay, let's move on.
So, you know, looking at the first 150 games or whatever, I mean, there have been a couple of times this month where it's felt like maybe he's got too many toys to play with and he's made that one extra move trying to get something going. But in general, and this is a guy who runs his bullpen well. This is a guy who puts the players he has in their best positions to succeed far more often than not. That's what you want out of a manager.
It'd be nice, wouldn't it, if somebody would, I don't know, kidnap Munenori Kawasaki or something, though, just because, that's one of the toys you'd like. Frankly, it's one of the toys I'd like Gibby to stop playing with.
Well, but you know what the truth of the matter is, and it is a sad truth. The Munenori Kawasaki is hitting right-handers better than any of the other options.
This is true.
Third base.
This is true. He's just not as good defensively.
Yeah. And we saw that again last night when he couldn't make a throw from deep in the hole at third base. But I don't think, you know.
We're talking
about Kawasaki over Juan Francisco 100 times out of 100.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, we agree. We agree with that. But you're right. If there's been a thing that's kind of disappointed me, it's been the use of the bench. I don't know what the hell George Kateris did to somebody. I know George Kateris isn't the second or even third or fourth coming of Johnny Bench. I get that. I don't know. Maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's got the flu.
Played last night.
Well, yeah, finally, Mike.
Yeah.
Finally. I mean, who the hell? You're going to tell me you'd rather have Josh Tholey up at the plate than him? And again, I know that we're not talking about there's not a huge difference. But what I'm saying is, the hell's a guy doing up here? I mean, he hasn't played for about 2 weeks, and you know Dan Johnson is here. I mean, you're going to pinch hit Munenori Kawasaki for Ryan Go against right. I'd rather have Dan Johnson up there. I mean, I know
I agree with you 100%. The Kataris thing. I mean, he's the third catcher, right? You always have a third catcher in September, and there's only been one or two at bats where I thought I'd rather have Kataris here than Tholey. And I'm very interested to see if Kataris doesn't catch Dickey next week once the Blue Jays are eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see, because that's a way better bat, a guy who gets on base way more than Tholey does. But yeah, there have been a few times where Gibby will pinch hit position for position when he's got Dan Johnson sitting there, and I'm thinking, well, why? But those are really minor things in the grand scheme.
Well, yeah, they are, but, you know, it does... Look, this is a guy in John Gibbons who, in fairness to him, hasn't always had a full bench at times throughout his second tenure here because the Jays have gone with the extra reliever. But again, and I'm not saying Dan Johnson's going to single-handedly turn the fate of the American League East division around.
He's done it before.
Well, bingo. That was my next point. But you know, you're right about Gibbons in terms of his use of the bullpen. I think that really, I don't think anybody could have foreseen the type of implosion we saw this year. Maybe we should have been a little more skeptical about Steve Delabar just because. But I really think when Steve Delabar lost his effectiveness, Mike, it really, I think John Gibbons spent a couple of weeks trying to almost rearrange the coordinates of the bullpen when Steve Delabar wasn't there.
Well, Steve Delabar is half of it, and Sergio Santos is the other half.
Yes, exactly.
You know, and yeah, it's funny because I remember talking about this in spring training about bullpens and how bullpens go up and down, and relievers very rarely are have back to back good years. But my point always was, the Blue Jays have enough good stuff in that bullpen that they can overcome a bad year or two.
Right.
And but You know, Delabar was terrible. Santos was terrible. Cecil had a terrible first half. That all that error, Loop's not as reliable as he was the last couple of years. All that stuff is very difficult to overcome in tandem. They've managed to do it now with, you know, Loop kind of coming back, Cecil having a phenomenal second half, Dustin McGowan being good in the bullpen, and Aaron Sanchez being down there. But it took a while for that stuff to resort itself. And Gibby did a great job trying to push the right button.
Yeah, and I think we're probably, Mike, both in agreement about the manager's ability to exercise influence offensively in a game. You know, I've always thought...
Did you listen to the post-game last night?
Yes. People seem to have the idea that the hitting coach is an offensive coordinator. I don't know. I mean, if you watch enough baseball, you know that there are... You know, yeah, I guess a manager, he can put a hit and run on and stuff like that, but it's not like football. You can't coordinate an offensive attack. I mean,
right.
You just can't.
But part of it is our fault, and by our fault, I mean the media in general, because and the truth of the matter is, through the month of May, so many people, just all they talked about was Kevin Seitzer.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't fair to him, and it wasn't fair to the players, just like, you know, he's not magic.
Yeah.
Nobody can make a guy hit. They can help him. They can watch video with them. They can give him a little tip here and there. But it really comes down to it's up to the players to execute, and there's really not much coaches can do about that.
Mike Wilner joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Mike, what do you want to see the rest of the year from this team? What has your attention the rest of the year?
I want to see them win some ball games. Mm-hmm. I want to see them go into New York and perform. I want to see them come home and you know, be better against Seattle than they were in Seattle when they were just completely snuffed out. I'd like to continue to see Aaron Sanchez pitch well. I mean, he put a couple of guys on yesterday in his inning, which is unusual for him. I want to see a little bit more Kendall Graveman because he had a pretty interesting outing last time out. He's only pitched twice.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first time. Nobody reached base the last time. But really, I just want to see them win some ball games. They've still got a chance to take improvement over last season if they start to play well again. And that's the best way to close things out.
Mr. Wilner, as always, it was good of you to join us.
My pleasure.
We will talk to you again. The one and only Mike Wilner, ladies and gentlemen, host of the Blue Jays Talk and... third man in the booth with Joe Siddle and Jerry Howarth. The Jays will start the four-game series against the Yankees tonight in the Bronx. Then they come home for four against the Seattle Mariners, four games that look a little less important right now, a little less significant right now, and then three against the Baltimore Orioles, who will be just trying to keep everybody healthy before they start the playoffs. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You can reach us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is SNJeffBlair. Use the hashtag Blair Show. So what do you think of John Gibbons? Do you bring him back? Like I said, I don't know. This became a bit of a story the past couple of days when Alex Anthopoulos came out. And as I said, I didn't necessarily think he tipped his hand one way or another, but a lot of people came away with the impression that it was a very lukewarm vote of confidence. And like I said, this, I think there are going to be some changes at the top, but I'm not entirely certain it'll involve the manager, and I'm reasonably certain it won't involve the general manager. I made this point in Blue Jays Connected last night. I really think that Marcus Stroman and Drew Hutchison, you know, I'm going to knock on wood, and Aaron Sanchez, if they get through the year healthy, it looks like they're going to get through the year healthy. I really think they've saved some people's jobs. Because this is what the Jays have been trying to get to for the past 8 years. They've been trying to get to the point where they have young, cost-effective. You've heard me use this phrase time and time again, I know, but it's just so true. Young, cost-effective starting pitching. They have it. Doesn't mean they're all going to win Cy Young Awards. But they've got it. They've got a commodity this organization hasn't had since Halliday, Escobar, and Carpenter. and it is an absolute must. An absolute must. If you want to win this division, you're not going to get a lot of free agent pitchers to come to this city, to come to this ballpark. It's a hitter's park. You know, all the issues. And beside that, there just aren't going to be franchise-altering free agents on the market. I mean, there just aren't. Teams are locking up their young guys now, or their youngish players. So this has to be the starting point for the franchise. It has to be the starting point. You have to have young, cost-effective, homegrown starting pitching. It is a must. And John Gibbons, I think, deserves credit, along with Pete Walker, for getting these guys through the year healthy. It's a very large feather in his cap. Terry in Oshawa, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Jeff. My question is, like, if we don't change anything, what would make the result different next year? Like, I don't know what the answer is. I really do. Like, I'm 23 years out making the playoffs. Like, I'm totally frustrated. Like, I mean, something you said a while back, like, the ownership has got to have some faith or show some faith in something. Going, let's talk about Cabrera for a moment. I know it was a John Gibbons thing, but if they don't re-sign Cabrera, I don't care if we have to overpay for the guy. He wants to play here.
Well, hold on. Okay. Go ahead.
So you said something a while back when you said, at one point, you have to show some faith. You have to show some good faith in some of these players. Like, maybe you have to overpay for a guy. Like, I mean, at what point, if we're not going to change the manager and not to change the general manager, like, what's going to change this whole thing?
Well, first of all, keep in mind what you're changing. You're changing a team that led the division by 6 games. You're changing a team that had injuries. Everybody has injuries, I know, and just ran out. I mean, they ran out of talent. That's essentially what's happened. Melky Cabrera gets hurt. They don't have enough talented players. They've run out of players. That's it. So what are you going to change? Well, you know, if you think changing the manager would have made this year better, I don't know. I don't think it would have. It's certainly not going to make Brett Laurie healthy. It's not going to make Melky Cabrera stay in the lineup. So, I mean,
But here's the thing.
Here's the change. The change next year is you're going to have these young starting pitchers, which you didn't have at the start of the year. That's the change. That's the biggest change. You should have a much better rotation than you had at the start of this year. That's the biggest change. To me, that's the most important change. As far as Melky Cabrera goes, yeah, absolutely. He should be signed by now. But we don't know if Melky wants to be here. You know, just because Melky turns around a couple of reporters and says, yeah, I want to be here, doesn't necessarily mean, sure, he wants to be here right now, but if someone comes along and offers him 5 years at $16 million a year, he'll want to be there too. So we have this, I mean, part of the Melky narrative is, oh, Melky really likes it here. Melky really wants to be here. Well, if he really wanted to be here, maybe his agents could have approached the Blue Jays in the middle of the year and said, hey, you know what? Melky really wants to be here. We don't know if that happened. See what I'm getting at? Like, there's this assumption that Melky wants to be here. Well, we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. Melky wants to be where the money is, like every other ball player. 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go to the next caller here. John in Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, John?
What's wrong with the fans in Toronto? Quit picking on Gibbons. You cannot make a Ferrari out of Hugo parts. You just can't. He hasn't got the talent. And when somebody like Cabrera gets hurt or the third baseman goes down,
Laurie,
you haven't got the people to put there. You just don't.
Yeah, to me it's pretty clear. I agree with you, John. Thanks for the call. A lot of other people on Twitter, Jeff Pereira, would Buck Showalter or Joe Maddon have gotten more out of the banged up and bruised 2014 Blue Jays and Gibbons? I don't know. I mean, the last time I looked, Joe Maddon Tampa Bay Rays are behind the Jays. They had injury problems too. But there does seem to be this idea out there that Showalter, Madden, Gibbons, I'm sorry, Showalter, Madden, Girardi, and Farrell are all better managers than John Gibbons. I can't sit here and tell you that they're not, because they've all won the division at some point in the last 5 years. But here's the thing. If you get rid of John Gibbons, you're not getting Joe Madden, Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter, or John Farrell. So if you sit there and say, well, Gibbons is the fifth worst manager in this division, again, I can't disagree with that. The record would suggest that over the course of his career. But you're not getting any of the other guys. Joe in Brampton, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Morning, Jeff.
Morning.
I've talked to you a number of times and heard a number of comments, and I've got to, right off the bat, finally say, I finally agree with Mike Wilner on one thing. He finally mentions Toley. We have to get a better catcher to give us more offense. I've been saying that since June.
Yeah, but Toley, I mean, we're talking about a guy who plays once every 5 days.
I know, but we need a catcher that can play more than once every 5 days.
You do. You have Deonner Navarro.
Okay, but we need another catcher that can hit better.
All right. I mean,
let's get to Gibbons. We'll choose the.
Yeah, because I'm not worried about the backup. I can find a backup catcher. But go ahead. Let's talk about Gibbons.
I'm gonna spin it a slightly different way after hearing these comments. I tend to agree with the first caller to a certain degree. It ties in with Melky, okay? If the Jays, I think, if the Jays decide, and if they can, if they decide to sign Melky, okay, then you keep Gibbons. Because I think Gibbons overall has done a decent job considering he has no bench. AA really never gave him a bench. They were always short. They always had, like I said, Toley, too, that kind of weakened their bench. So if you keep Melky, okay, you keep Gibbons. If you don't sign Melky, then I think maybe you go new school on a manager, like in the sense that I think Gibbons is more old school. He's kind of laid back. I really can't hang this on him, but maybe we need something to change at the front end to kind of boost these players, you know. And, you know, other than that, I just want to point out Mike Wilner also mentioned Graveman. The other night, what I saw from Graveman and what I saw from, I do believe it's Norris, right?
Mm-hmm.
Daniel Norris, is they're raving about Daniel Norris, but maybe he's 3 or 4 years away and he needs to get more speed.
Okay, well, hang on. He's a starter being used as a reliever, and he's pitched once. Well, how many times has he pitched since he's been up? You can't
I'm not saying Norris is bad.
I'm saying you can't judge him on anything. This means nothing what he does now. He's not going to be a reliever next year. He's going to be a starter. This means nothing.
But what I'm trying to say is they're not really giving Graveman a good look. They need to give him a good look.
I agree with you on that.
I think it could be another Sean Markham or even Maddox, because he's got good stuff.
I appreciate the call. I don't know about Maddox. Stuff seems to be good. I would like to see more of him. But I'm not going to judge Norris and Graveman based on what I see. Certainly not Norris based on what I see out of him out of the bullpen. In these cameo appearances. I mean, these guys are essentially here as a reward for a good season. Yeah, I mean, I just want him to get through the year healthy. That's all I care about. I mean, I'm not even paying attention to what he does. All I'm doing is watching. I'm trying to see what his pitches look like, how he looks on the mound. That's all. But I'm not worried about the result. Mark in Richmond Hill, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How you doing, Mark?
Good, Jeff. How are you?
I am living the dream.
Oh, and you're doing it well, my friend.
Thank you.
Baseball season comes to an end. I just want to thank you, Travis, and your staff for doing a great job this year with the Blue Jays.
That's nice that you mentioned Travis, because Travis works hard and doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, I love talking to him. You got an amazing staff, Jeff.
I know we do. We have a very good staff, all two of them. Anyhow, go ahead.
Okay, I got two questions for you, if I could.
Sure.
One with Gibby. There is I'm not that knowledgeable about baseball, but you can't convince me that the other managers of the American League East would have done anything different than what's happening now. I can't see Madden or the guy from Baltimore coming in here and making that much of a difference. If we had the same bullpen as we did last year, we'd be certainly talking about different things than we are right now.
You can't, yeah, as a manager, it's awfully hard. When you're, if your bullpen doesn't work out in spring training, okay, you can maybe make some moves. But when your bullpen gradually collapses as the year goes on, there's nothing you can do about that. And especially the guys that collapse, Delabar, Jansen to a certain degree now, Sergio Santos as well. You know, there's nothing you can do.
You know what I don't understand, though, Jeff, about the Blue Jays organization? Well, it's not that we're a small market team. Why can't they go out and get natural grass in this stadium?
They'll tell you, yeah, and it's more than anything else, it's got to do with engineering, the amount of time it's going to take to put the grass in. It's not just a matter of throwing grass down. You've got to, my understanding is you basically have to dig up the entire ground, the ground floor of the Rogers Center. You have to lower it. You have to do a bunch of other things. You can't do that while the Argos are here. And the other thing it does is it takes away concert availability. It takes away the use of the facility for other events through the winter. So it's the type of thing that I've been told essentially needs a 3-year run-up to get done. And I think they're looking, they've already said they're looking at grass in 2017, 2018. They're going to put new artificial turf in next year. Look, I've been on record, and this is a no-brainer. This place should have had natural grass a couple of years ago. And God love them, but I really don't care about the Argos. I mean, I really don't. It annoys me that because of the Argos, this team is stuck with artificial turf. And I understand there's a variety of reasons for that. And it's not even to blame the Argos for it. But the fact of the matter is, if there wasn't a football team playing here, you'd probably have natural grass here by now. And I find that very annoying. And you're absolutely right. Natural grass isn't going to change everything, but it's at least going to give free agents another reason to come here, as opposed to giving them a reason not to come here. Eddie in Fort Erie, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
It's going well.
You know what? I'm kind of sitting on the fence with John Gibbons as far as if the Blue Jays should bring him back or not. I mean, if we bring him back, good. I mean, I'm not going to deny what he's done with the bullpen. I mean, he's done really well with the bullpen. You know, he brings him in when he needs to face lefties and all that sort of thing. And I'm a little bit worried if we let him go, because then if we let him go, who are we going to bring in? Are we going to bring in another guy who, number one, is like John Farrell and just took pleasure instead of business and not, you know, give a you-know-what about the team? That's what I'm a little bit worried about. But as far as Alex goes, if you look at the games that the Orioles won, especially the one like on the way to the division, which is ironic when you spoke to Mike, because I called him on the night that they clinched the division saying that I felt the Orioles had better depth than the Blue Jays, not reflecting on the batter's average, but reflecting on the fact that they can play any position, not just their current ones.
And everybody they put in can catch the ball for the most
Exactly. And that's what they need. They need to have better depth and be creative in the offseason to bring in guys who can play very good, catch the ball, and also who can, you know, have the ability to get on base, not just hit the home run. If just get on base and set up the guys that can hit the home run.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no doubt, Eddie, that the Orioles are a much more well-rounded team than the Blue Jays. Look, I made this point a couple of times yesterday. Healthy, I don't have a lot of issues with the Blue Jays lineup. Center field must be addressed. Second base must be addressed, although there's a lot of ifs here. If everybody's healthy and Colby's having a decent year, I could work with Ryan Goins at second base. I just bury the bat in the lineup. I'd be fine with it. But the bench is not very good. And the bench is full of guys who would have a difficult time being a 25th man on a good team. Steve Tolleson is not on the bench of any team, other team in the American League East. Munenori Kawasaki does not make the bench of any other team in the American League East. I mean, they just don't. Juan Francisco might, just because he does one thing very well, he can hit a fastball. But the Jays' depth ended up really hurting them. Lack of depth ended up really hurting them. I understand. You can't have... People have this idea that every team in baseball has a bench composed of guys who can start. That's not true. Every team in baseball, most teams in baseball, have a bench composed of guys who could play a couple of times a week if you absolutely, positively needed them to do it. But if you stuck them out there for 2 weeks in a row, would be exposed. That's what most bench players are. What a team like Baltimore has is a balance on its bench. It's got guys who can do, got guys who can hit home runs, got some guys with a little bit on base. The one thing they all do for the most part is play good defense. And I think as the season's gone on, we've seen that the Jays fall down in that area. I mean, I know you love Munenori Kawasaki. He is not a good defensive player. He's just not. The team is demonstrably worse with him in the field. Steve Tolleson's not a great defensive player. Danny Valencia, I'm sorry, I don't see it. I understand the Jays think there is a player in there. That's fine. Let's find that out. But what I've seen from Danny Valencia doesn't excite me. So I throw that out there. This is a team that has an awful lot of work to do in the offseason, but I just don't know. I don't know if getting rid of the manager needs to be part of that work. Now, I said this last night, and you've heard me say this on the show a couple of times. I think eventually Pat Henkin will manage the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't know if it'll happen this year, but at some point Pat Henkin's going to be managing this team. And that's the only guy I see out there right now. Don't want anybody. Don't want to reach right. I don't want a guy like Bo Porter. Joe Maddon, Georgia, they're not coming here. So my sense is that the Jays stick with John Gibbons. And let's see if there are changes made to the coaching staff. Let's see if Pat Henkin's back for next season in some role in the coaching staff. But I think that's where this is all going eventually. Where it's all going eventually is Pat Henkin will manage the Blue Jays. I just don't know when. I mean, people in this organization have talked about it for 5 years. J.P. Ricciardi used to talk about how Pat Henkin could manage. So I'm just throwing that out there. 416-870-0590, *591-888-666-0590. Join the conversation on social media. Use the hashtag Blair Show. This is the Jeff Blair Show, and this is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club, and almost as cool as Chess Club, The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
From the best movie ever. I don't know how Dazed and Confused didn't win multiple Academy Awards. It's like the biography of everybody who went to high school in the 70s. *591-888-666-0590. My Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair. Join our conversation. So I understand the Leafs are doing all their media availabilities today. Travis McKenzie's telling me that so far most of the questions are about analytics. Tom in Waterloo, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Should we fire John Gibbons, Tom?
I'm just going to say Alex is back because I think management's starting to see a return on their money for the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
They've spent a lot of money down there, and they're finally starting to see some kids.
Yep.
Gibby's back. He can handle a pitching staff.
Mm-hmm.
And those kids are here or near. And the lack of depth hurts, but, hey, we can always find reasons. 23 in a row, 6 innings for the starters. That's something. Give Walker some credit, too.
Well, yeah, and Tom, I think we're on the same page. I know Wilner's on the same page. People always kind of look at me and raise an eyebrow when I say this. 95% of my judgment of a manager is based on how he handles pitching, and about 65% of that is how he handles the bullpen. Because, it's the one sport where the defense has possession of the ball. And you can't... People have this idea, Tom, that a manager has this magic wand that suddenly gets everybody hitting, and he really doesn't. Yeah. The only thing he can do is move guys up and down the order, which John has done to the point that last year he was being criticized because he kept moving guys up and down the order.
Yeah, he got let down this year, too. Rogers, Delabar, Santos,
Yeah.
That's a big loss. And the Orioles, by the way, they might be winning because they went from 420 to 360 on the ERA.
Yes, thank you, Tom. That's a pretty good point. And as Dan Duquette said in Baseball Central yesterday, it's the best Orioles staff probably in 30 years, if not longer. Now, I will say this. What we have seen in the past 10 days or so ought to have given the Blue Jays food for thought as far as Melky Cabrera goes. The Jays knew in June that they were going to give Melky Cabrera a qualifying offer. But when you see this lineup without Melky Cabrera in it, now that we're playing serious teams, playing serious baseball, and you see what the Jays lineup is like without Melky Cabrera, flash forward to next year and imagine a whole year of this group without Melky Cabrera, because by and large, you're going to have the same group back. There's not going to be big changes. Colby won't be here. Hopefully they'll have second base addressed, but Reyes is here, Encarnacion is here, Batiste is here. I got to think that Lind is here. Deonor Navarro is here. Brett Laurie's here. So this is basically the same team without Melky. It's not a good team without Melky. That would be my cautionary tale so far. Stephen Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How you doing, Jeff?
I am fine.
If for me, I think I would bring him back. The reason being is he's not the guy that made the decision to cut his roster from 25 to 24,
mm-hmm.
given Dickey his own catcher. He's not the guy responsible for acquiring talent. During the year, no significant trades or anything. I'm sure the manager wants anything and everything good to come through the door. That falls on Alex.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think Gibby gets Mulligan, gets another year, and hopefully everybody gets on the same page next year on what the budget is and if it can be stretched when they're in the race.
Yeah, one thing, Steve, and I don't know how you go about doing this. I don't know what Alex has to do. I don't know what ownership has to do, but I think the fans of the Blue Jays want a little more clarity about payroll. And I think they're smart enough to understand that, look, the Jays are owned by a publicly traded company. And, there's only so much information you're going to get. But there has to be a way, I think, to address this issue. And I don't know if Alex is going to handle it differently. That's where I think it's going to have to start. But I think the fans I need to either see or hear something. Because there's a lot of suspicion out there. I don't happen to share it. I happen to think that this company views the Blue Jays as a hugely important part of their marketing. Not to mention the fact that they're sitting on something right now that if they turned around and sold it would generate $1 billion at least. It's a valuable asset to this company. So I don't have the same suspicions other people do. And I wouldn't, you know, even if I was working someplace else, I wouldn't have it because I just wouldn't. But I understand that fans need to hear and see more. And I don't pretend to have the answer to that. I really don't. Maybe it will have to come from a different president. I'll tell you this. It's going to make me really popular in the Blue Jays executive suite. There's no way in hell that a general manager should be answering questions about payroll. There isn't. The trade deadline this year, Paul Beeston should have been out there front and center explaining what was going on. That's not on the GM. Any more so than we saw the Minnesota Vikings general manager twisting and turning, trying to deal with Adrian Peterson. There's some things that are beyond a general manager's purview. There's some things that, because of his position, he can't say, nor should he be saying, nor should he, frankly, be asked about. Now, I think that may be part of the problem. Dan and Caledon, you're in Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thanks for taking my call, Jeff.
No problem.
Frankly, I think it's time for John Gibbons and the Blue Jays to part ways. Like you said, there's not going to be very many changes made on the field. We're having a lot of players come back. And what's the definition of insanity?
Mm-hmm.
Doing the same thing twice.
Doing the same thing.
Expecting a different result.
Exactly.
So, I mean, John Gibbons hasn't had success at any level, even as a major league player. So where is he drawing his experience from?
Joe Madden has had no experience as a major. Like, the whole major league player thing, you can't run that out there. Buck Showalter.
I'm just saying, along his whole career, does he even have a .500 record as a manager? How come no teams wanted him after the Jays fired him the first time? Where did he go? Kansas City as a bench coach for a year?
Yeah, but that's sort of an important job, you know? Look, I'm not sitting here and saying that other teams are going to line up for John Gibbons. I'm not. I happen to think he's a pretty good manager. I happen to think that people overestimate the manager's role in a lot of things. But I keep throwing this out here. If you get rid of John Gibbons, you're getting an entry-level guy. Dave Martinez is a name that's out there. Dave Martinez has already turned down multiple managing jobs in order to stay as a bench coach with Joe Madden. I mean, there's a lot of reasons for guys to stay around Tampa. You know, we look at the attendance and roll our eyes, whether it's income tax, lifestyle, all that good stuff. You don't even have to go away for spring training. You can stay in your home for spring training. So I would throw that out there. You got to have a replacement. And it's probably going to be an entry-level guy, which is fine. That doesn't mean that it's going to be a disaster. But people have this idea, I think, that the replacement for John Gibbons would be a Showalter or a Francona or somebody like that. I mean, who's out there that's managed recently that you'd want? Dusty Baker's out there? I don't know. So I do think that fans have to keep that in mind, and we in the media have to keep that in mind. It's one thing to call for the manager's head, but you've got to have that replacement. Anyhow, I'll tell you this. I guarantee you that this is not the last time we have this discussion. A lot of people on Twitter, I wish I had time to read all your tweets and get them out there. But I think most people, I'm surprised in that I think a lot of people are prepared to not saddle John Gibbons with this season, which surprises me a little bit. I thought the sort of the visceral reaction would be fire the manager. That's not the sense I'm getting right now. But you know what? As I said, we'll deal with this again. We got another, 11 days left in the season, 10 days left in the season. The postmortem will continue. There is no postmortem for the Maple Leafs so far. Not that we know of. Although there is a crisis. Mike Zeisberger is a columnist with the Toronto Sun, and he will join us from Leafs camp. The Leafs camp got underway today with physicals. Dave Nonis, Randy Carlisle will speak to the media. Steve Spott's already spoken to the media, sort of, and created a controversy. We'll talk to Mike Zeisberger about that when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.